You know, most of us live in countries, you know, the U.S., Canada, the British Empire, that are direct blessings given to the patriarch Abraham. The U.S. and Canada especially hold vast expanses of beautiful country, vast expanses of unpopulated beauty. You know, it's still possible to travel into places very few people have seen, very few people have made an impact with different parts of this country and this North American continent. You know, but even with the planet mapped and visually accessible with something like Google Maps, even with the current GPS technologies, the cell phone technologies, coverage, and even with the lightest and most durable and best protecting clothing that's ever existed, people still get lost. People still die in this great beauty with constant regularity. According to the U.S. National Park Service, this is a little bit older study, but one of the, at least the ones I can kind of verify as a good data source. A study was completed that looked at search and rescue statistics covering the years between 1992 and through 2007. And during that time, a little over 78,000 people were involved in 65,000 search and rescue, or are involved in 65,000 plus search and rescue incidents. And the results of those 65,000 rescue attempts, there were just about 2,600 fatalities, a little over 24,000 ill or injured individuals, and there were over 13,000 people saved. Now, the findings of this report concluded that, you know, it averaged, during that time period, it averaged a little over 7 search and rescue incidents per day, and this cost the Park Service about $58 million to complete all these activities. And of those, kind of interesting, of those deaths in that time period, 12% were from suicides. 12% were people that just threw them, that went out into the wilderness and died, chose to go out from protection and die. You know, had the National Park Service not responded, they estimate that 20% of all of those activities would have resulted in death, not the 4% because of their actions. You know, not including those who willingly threw their lives away. But then some of the characteristics of those who are lost and who get in trouble into the wilderness. You know, the downward spike or spiral of a soon-to-be-lost hiker looks something like this, and I'm paraphrasing from a kind of a wilderness web source about backpacking, etc. Well, first, they ignore the landscape, what the landscape is telling them. Lost hikers say things such as, there's supposed to be a lake here. Oh, well, maybe it dried up yesterday. Those hikers have ignored the obvious. Rescues call this bending the map. However, believing in erroneous conclusions doesn't make them true. Secondly, in this downward spiral, hikers panic. And experts refer to this behavior as wood shock. It's the lethal combination of utter fear mixed with a total loss of spatial orientation. Woodshocked hikers tend to make poor decisions that quickly produce fatigue, that quickly produce thirst, cold, and in extreme cases, produce death. And the final step in this downward spiral to disaster is psychological disintegration, such as vertigo, claustrophobia, causing irrational behavior from otherwise normal thinkers. You know, affected hikers have been known to abandon all supplies, completely disrobe, and jump off cliffs in a fit of total disorientation. You know, people get lost because they stop thinking. You know, the downward spiral of a soon-to-be-lost Christian mirrors many of the characteristics of a lost hiker. You know, Christians get lost in Satan's wilderness because they stop thinking. Some, of course, give themselves over, commit the unpardonable sin. I don't know if it's 12%, but some people walk out into that wilderness willingly, defying God. But of those that might be deceived, of those that may not be soon to be lost, those that may be saved. We'll look at some parallels. If you will, turn with me to Romans 1. Romans 1, and starting in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His, God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Well, who is they? We just go up a couple verses to 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They are those people who suppress God's truth with their unrighteous actions. And in verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. You know, point one, following that downward spiral, the unrighteous suppress the truth. They bend it to their own liking. You know, Christ wasn't fully down here because part of Him was up there. And yet God wasn't fully up there because part of Him was down here. But then He separated Himself from Himself and forsook Himself. So God is just a Trinity, and that's beyond our understanding. That's what the world has kind of thrown it in. It's just too difficult to understand. He's just a Trinity. Don't ask too many more questions. Mankind has bent the truth, and they started this downward spiral. Romans 1, verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, the unrighteous heap upon poor decision and add to it more poor decision making, leading further and further away from the truth. It starts with something simple, as we saw even in previous fellowships, that, well, God is something different than what we've always understood. And where did that lead? That led away from God, not towards Him. 2 Timothy, you can hold your place in Romans if you want. 2 Timothy 4, we'll be back there. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 3, further illustrates this process of getting lost. Second Timothy 4, in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know, when we let ourselves become spiritually fatigued, when we let ourselves become spiritually malnourished, and we refuse to go before God and to grasp and take in His understanding, we become extremely susceptible to death. Continuing in Romans 1, verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Well, kind of mirroring that third point, that final step to psychological disaster, for many, abandoning the old ways, the dead ways that we used to go by, has given people a new sense of freedom, a new sense of life, a new sense of understanding of Christianity. You know, said the naked hiker jumping off a cliff into oblivion. A lot of people thought, well, we've given up what it was, this old way, the Old Testament beliefs, for new freedoms, for just this great life. What they've done is they've jumped off a cliff. Well, sarcasm aside, everything that we abandon that gives us strength, i.e. the entirety of God's law, leads to the same leap off of a cliff. It leads to a leap that only gives us, it only ends in our destruction. You know, it's interesting to note that of those that get lost in the wilderness, small children, typically six and under, almost never meet disaster. Those who appear the most vulnerable actually have the highest survival rate. Paraphrasing again that hiking article, you know, children don't make the frightening ordeal more difficult than it already is. Children, unlike adults, operate only in their field of vision. They also follow their instincts better. When they're cold, they find shelter. When they're thirsty, they drink. Adults, on the other hand, plow ahead deeper and deeper into trouble. You know, according to a study put out by the Search and Rescue Society of British Columbia concerning the behavioral characteristics of lost people, children's behavior, those that are under six, are thus. They have no navigational skills. They tend to wander aimlessly. And the youngest, you know, the 2-3-year-olds that get lost, have no concept of being lost. And as they near six, they start getting understanding the concept of being lost, and they will try to return to someplace familiar. They'll try to return home. But when they're being searched for, they have a 90% chance of being detected based upon what they do when they are lost. The same study said of adult hiking behavior, adults generally rely on trails with set destination, but if the trails are overgrown, if the trails are a little bit difficult to see, not maintained, or snow-covered, it creates great problems. No compass or no map, or at best a very poor one, are typically what they are equipped with. These hikers have mismatched abilities. One may get tired, one may fall behind, and eventually get disoriented, and eventually get lost. And they often, this is the key, they often try to take shortcuts. They often try to find a way that they think is better, a path they think is better, and that leads to them getting lost. They have, when searched, typically a 75% chance of being found, as opposed to the 90% of a child. Well, spiritually, as adults, we try to reason too much on our own, and we don't rely on God's direction enough. That's something all of us fight with or fight for on a daily basis. And that approach will not help us navigate through the wilderness and into the kingdom of God. Matthew 18, starting in verse 1. Matthew 18, in verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You know, the humility of a child, that is what will help us reach safety. That is what will help us reach the kingdom of God. You know, it's knowing that we cannot complete this hike without God's intervention, without His direct involvement, leading and bushwhacking through this dense wilderness that Satan has put up before us. Without Him leading the way, guiding our way, we will get lost. And it's also predicated on the willingness to accept God on His terms and not our own. Not to try to take shortcuts, not to try to decide how we are going to worship God, but worship God and how He decided to be worshipped. You know, there is an easy to follow rule for what to do when you're lost hiking. And it's called the stop rule. Stop, think, observe, and plan. You know, we can use that same rule in our spiritual trek through this wilderness of Satan's world. Stop what you're doing. Think about the consequences of what you may or may not do. Observe maybe where that particular action will lead you, and plan on how to escape it. You know, brethren, God has given us a clear path to follow. It's up to us to stay on that path and not get lost.